Sheldon Museum will showcase a new exhibit of Tlingit miniatures. And the Native Youth Olympic Games are going on now, testing physical and mental strength and stamina. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Corinne Smith. Those stories are up next. The Haynes Sheldon Museum will feature a new exhibit of Tlingit miniatures, which will showcase not only the artistic works, but also stories of Tlingit people forced to adapt to the rapidly changing times of the late 19th and 20th centuries. The new exhibit will feature a variety of Tlingit miniatures drawn from the Haynes Sheldon Museum's own 23,000 item collection. That includes small-scale totem poles and canoes and dolls, which were popular as children's toys. Items were both artistic and practical, says Museum Collections Coordinator Zachary James.
There's some kind of small spiritual figures, like small talisman-like objects, amulets kind of things, rings, and then halibut hooks too.
James is Tlingit with ancestry in the Chilkat Valley, Wrangell, and Stikeen Basin. He points out a doll with a stone face and calico dress. With the introduction of Western culture, he says the designs and materials show how Tlingit people took them and adapted them to new art forms.
After Western contact and the fur trade, there was a real explosion of art from Southeast Alaska and just the Northwest Coast, because increased wealth, more trade, new materials, steel became widely available, and so it was easier to produce more carvings, and new ideas were coming in too. And within the old traditions, they would take these new ideas and make new things.
Steamship tourism kicked off in the late 1800s, with mostly wealthy European and American tourists making the long journey to Southeast Alaska. James points to a 1905 pamphlet advertising Alaska via the totem pole route, where ships visited different villages to see original totem poles.
Either native people needed to assimilate to cash economy, or, you know, they would disappear. But either way, their old traditions wouldn't survive. So it was they promoted it as, you know, see the native in their natural habitat before they disappear, which we know that to be not true now. But it was the thought at the time.
James says in the late 1800s, with the Klondike Gold Rush and the massive influx of missionaries and settlers, fish traps decimated salmon runs and harmed traditional native livelihoods. So Tlingit artists began producing miniatures for tourists.
All of these things that were going on, it was compromised the traditional economy of the Tlingit people here. So a lot of people turned to producing souvenirs for steamship travelers as a way to supplement their income.
Tlingit people, mostly women, would set up on the docks and sell to tourists.
We have a lot of old photographs of from steamship travelers, and it's almost always women would be selling their wares. And amongst the baskets that the women weaved, they would have small totem poles and small carvings that the men made.
James says Tlingit people may have moved into small-scale art for sale as an act of economic survival, but at the same time, the style and craft was exquisite. And miniature totem poles are sometimes the only surviving record of full-size totem poles in existence today, representing important stories and crests of the 30-foot originals.
You know, a lot of the model totem poles were based off of real totem poles that existed, that had stories, you know, and were owned by someone. So sometimes the model totem pole, based off the real one, the model is the only one that exists today. Because, you know, it's easy to store. It's lasted longer than the original, so that's the only record of that totem pole existing is in that miniature version.
James says the exhibit will showcase stories of the known carvers and provide the public an opportunity to learn more about Tlingit people of the early 1900s in a time of cultural oppression and change.
Understand the time period and what people were going through at the time. What kind of pressures, you know, the culture and the art was under at that time period, what they had to do in order to keep making the art.
Though an exhibit of miniatures, the stories and legacy of Tlingit arts are larger than ever at the Haynes Sheldon Museum. The exhibit on Tlingit miniatures opens at the Haynes Sheldon Museum on Friday, March 25th, and will run for 8 weeks till the end of May. For more information, visit haynesmuseum.org. The Native Youth Olympic Games test athletic abilities required to survive in Alaska. This year's junior games are virtual, with participants sending in videos of themselves competing in the events. As Alaska Public Media's Katie Anastas reports, the junior events wrap up next weekend.
Reagan Dibble is 9 years old and competing in the wrist carry. He and his classmates at Makatans Elementary in Wasilla have been practicing for weeks. Last weekend, they competed at a local event for students in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough.
Go, Reagan!
In the wrist carry event, Dibble hooks one wrist over a pole, grabs his arm with his other hand, and holds himself off the ground.
You got it, hold on!
Two other boys hold onto each side of the pole and walk forward. The athlete who stays suspended for the longest time wins. His previous record had been 19 seconds. This time, Dibble stays on for 43 seconds. Later this week, he'll film his video for the state competition at his school gym. Dibble explains that the wrist carry was a traditional way to honor a hunted animal. His mom, Emily Dibble, says those types of lessons are what make the game special.
It's one more thing that we love about living in Alaska. They really do cherish their native culture and immerse everybody in it. And I find that unique and special for these kids growing up here.
Dibble says these games foster more teamwork than his other favorite sport, hockey.
I like how you can encourage others and like coach everybody because like you're all on the same team. Playing hockey, you're kind of like one-on-one, and this, it's like all together.
That's what made Nicole Johnson fall in love with the games, too. She grew up in Nome and first tried the 2-foot high kick in fifth grade. She went on to hold the record for that event for 25 years. Now, she's the head official for the Native Youth Olympic Games. She says it's a different kind of competition.
You see the athletes all encouraging each other to go harder and higher, even if they are going harder and higher than further than you are. You coach your opponents, you coach other teams, you help other coaches. It creates a community of friends and family for life.
The junior games end on March 6th. This year's senior games, to be held in person for students in grades 7 to 12, are slated for April at the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage. In Anchorage, I'm Katie Anastas.
For KHNS, I'm Corinne Smith. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read news stories on our website at khns.org. You can also subscribe to KHNS News on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts.